I'm thinking that I might not have been the only person to do a little bit of Christmas planning and preparation this weekend. You know, show of hands, anyone else do anything else to get ready for Christmas? Anyone else actually start getting ready for Christmas before Thanksgiving? You know, there's all kinds of feelings about when and how early we should get ready for Christmas. But in the Christian seasons, Advent is a time to get ready to celebrate this wonderful holiday. And I find that as we get ready for Christmas, in whatever ways we express our traditions, or maybe how religious or secular they might be, Christmas has a way of revealing the things that are in our hearts. And sometimes we like that, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes for us, when we get ready for Christmas, our hearts are filled to the brim and we're just excited to celebrate. Other times, Thanksgiving comes and we just want to put our head down and hide until after New Year's and wait for it all to be over. Sometimes when Christmas comes, we find that it is a time to renew all that is good with the world, and other times we feel maybe a little more pessimistic and think that it's all a bunch of hooey. Whatever is going on in your life right now, I suspect that this time of Advent and preparation is bringing up a little bit of the things that you are wishing for in your life or maybe for the world. And I've been thinking a lot about those kinds of wishes that we have, you know, things that we want for ourselves, for our family, for the world, and also thinking a little bit about what does God wish for each Christmas. And in the Christian tradition, it's actually pretty clear what God wishes for every Christmas. It's why we keep putting the banners up every year. They're the same every year. The first week is hope. The second week is peace. The third is joy. And don't get me started why the joy candle is pink and not love, which is the fourth one, much to the chagrin of all acolytes everywhere. These are the things that God wishes for us to have. And that is why we take time every year as we get ready for Christmas to reflect on how God wishes to bring hope, peace, joy, and love into our lives. Now, if it were only that simple to just magically be zapped with hope, right? I think we would all love for that to happen, or any of the other gifts that God wishes to give us. But it's not as simple as unwrapping a package. It's a much stranger, slower journey that kind of unfolds differently for each of us in our own ways. But it is true that God wishes to bring hope as we get ready for Christmas. And it is why we commonly read from the prophet Isaiah as we begin our journey toward Christmas. Now, if you happen to be worshiping with us regularly this fall at a congregation, you might find the transition in our scriptures a little bit jarring. For the fall, we had been going through the book of Exodus, and for 3 months, we had been journeying with Moses. And now suddenly, we're all the way over to Isaiah. And so I want to take just a moment to kind of bridge the gap here and kind of help talk about the journey of the people and kind of help understand why Isaiah shows up every Advent for us. In the journey of Exodus, we are given the story of how the Israelites were freed from slavery from Egypt and journey toward the promised land. In this second book of the Bible, we are given a lot about the character of God. We are told in Exodus that God is a God who sees, hears, and understands. And a God that has the power to do something in the world and intervene in very miraculous, extraordinary ways that are probably the most extraordinary in the book of Exodus. As we think about the stories of the Red Sea and the plagues and the manna and all the things, and we learn that God chooses to be with the Israelites, that God wishes to dwell among them, and that in the journey that God takes with the Israelites, there is this constant back and forth about what it means to choose life. And God is trying to help the people figure this out. And that's where we ended last week in Deuteronomy, this kind of farewell speech of Moses where he says, choose life. Choose to stick with God and follow the ways of God. If you were to read through a good chunk of the Old Testament, you find it doesn't go that smoothly, does it? And we hear stories after stories of the ups and the downs of the Israelites as they try to choose life and dwell with God. And through the ups and the downs of the kings and the judges and all the different prophets that go back and forth, we eventually get to this period in the Old Testament where Isaiah comes forward. And it is in quite a dark, challenging time for the Israelites. Most of them at this point have been taken into captivity once again. The northern kingdom had been wiped out by the Assyrians, and the only part of Israel that remained was Jerusalem, which eventually would fall to the Babylonians, and this happens under Isaiah's prophecies as well. And yet, in the midst of all of the struggles and the despairs that face the people, Isaiah comes with a word of hope. And it is a strange, hard word of hope. It's not the kind that promises that life will be better tomorrow, but it is something for the people to hold on to. In the words that we heard today, we hear in the beginning in chapter 11, a shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will sprout from his roots. Here we have Isaiah bringing us a word of hope. And I think it's fitting that we start with this place in our preparations for Christmas, because Isaiah reminds us whenever we have to go back into this Old Testament scriptures, that the world is not always the way God wants it to be. And when Isaiah spoke to the people, they were experiencing hardship and grief and suffering and perplexed. And Isaiah says, look, I know that you know what it means to be cut down like a stump, and you feel like nothing remains. But I promise, a shoot will sprout. And this is where we start the journey of Advent, with a stump. Most of us don't put stumps up in our house, right? I put up a full tree. Isaiah would give me a stump. And you might think that to be depressing, but for the people, they knew what it was like to feel like a stump. They knew what it was like to feel like they had been cut down and they felt like maybe there was nothing left for them. And I hazard a guess that for most of us, we know or have experienced or will experience what it's like to be cut down and have a moment in our life where we feel like all that is left is that stump. Whether it's because of a change and loss of a job, whether it's because of health problems or maybe struggles that we have in our relationships with one another, we know what it feels like to be cut down. And to this, Isaiah speaks to each and every one of us to say, don't give up. A shoot remains, and a shoot will sprout. Will always sprout. This particular sprout and remains is the hope that God gives to us, not only to the people in exile, but to us whenever we feel like our lives have been cut down or that our world has been cut down. God gives us this word of hope. We are told that this shoot looks like this. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord, and he won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips and faithfulness the belt around his waist. And it goes on to talk about the wolf living with the lamb and the young lying down together. The peaceable kingdom. I think it's fascinating that the Bible reminds us continually that when it looks like no hope is left, God always has hope for us. God always comes with a reminder that the worst thing will never be the last thing. And God gives us comfort and encouragement to see a glimpse of the way that God sees the world eventually. And here and now we may only hold on to the tender shoot of a promise, something that doesn't look powerful enough at all, something that is just a simple little sprout that couldn't do a world of good. But God says, I'm coming. It's not over yet. Have hope. Cornel West says the following. As we think about hope, especially Christian hope, he says, you know, hope is very different from optimism. Optimism takes a look at evidence. It's a lot more rational. And when someone is optimistic, it's because they tend to look at the facts and think that there will be a favorable result. Hope, he says, though, is entirely different. In fact, hope looks at the evidence and says, it doesn't look good at all. But I'm going to make a leap of faith. I'm going to go beyond the evidence in the attempt to dream new possibilities. Hope is based on heroic dreams that become contagious enough to allow us to engage in heroic actions against the odds. That is hope. I am so glad that whenever we begin our journey to Christmas, we start with hope. And not my hope or your hope, but God's hope. God's hope in knowing that a shoot will always sprout, and that there will be one who will come whose spirit will rest with wisdom and understanding. That we can always hope that God is on the move and God is not done with us yet. That God is the source of that heroic dream and that heroic action, the one we know in Jesus. And I hope that I never give up on God's hope. It is so easy to want to give up, to want to be pessimistic or think it's all like being Pollyanna. But when God shows up and speaks these words like we hear from Isaiah about a wolf living with a lamb or one who can judge the needy with righteousness and equity, it isn't just wishful thinking. It is the bold, courageous work of God. And it is true that maybe in our daily lives we will not see much more than a promise or a glimpse. But we should never give up hope. that the one who was and is to come will be with us, will be for us, and will be here even through the valley of the dark, of the shadow of death. When we start our Christmas journeys, although there will be moments of joy and love and peace, we begin the journey recognizing that the world is not what it should be, but we have hope that God will make it so. Amen.